You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, Browns fans, secure your Cleveland Browns season tickets for 2014 today. Place your deposit to lock in the best seats and prices. Don't miss your chance to join the best fans in the NFL at First Energy Stadium. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. 216-578-0850, the number to get aboard with us, and a whole bunch have. Nathan, let's just jump into these calls, shall we?
Yeah, let me just, before we get into the calls, I just want to make one thing clear. Because
hold on, caller.
I was as surprised as anybody, to be honest, when it all came down and as quickly as it came down, and it was a very shocking thing. I personally, you know, after listening to the press conference and having the opportunities we did in the first hour, which you can get on demand at ClevelandBrowns.com after the show, when Joe Banner joined us to open the show, have a little more comfort in the fact that these guys, at least, it takes a smart person, I think, to know quickly that they've made a mistake and decide to move on from it. And the fact they are admitting flat out they made a mistake, which begs the question, why would we trust them since they're the ones who hired Rob Judzinski? Well, they're the ones who are going to be making the decision again, whether you like it, I like it, anybody likes it. And I happen to believe they are smart people, and I happen to believe that they will get it right. And I do think that things are set up for success around here. But I understand that it is a very tough time. And in many ways, you know, Rob Judzinski was here so briefly that I don't know that we'll ever really know what could have been achieved with him. But the one thing I do know is that they don't think the kind of success they wanted in their plan could be achieved with him as the head coach.
Well, there's a consistency with what they've done. I think whether it's about admitting that they're wrong or right is, and the timing is what makes this an admission that, quote, we were wrong for doing this. But I think it's being consistent with being bold. It's about making the Trent Richardson trade and not caring. Not caring that his face appeared on all of your printed matter, your pocket schedules. He was all over all our web stuff that I'm a part of. We spent a lot of time having to delete all of that. He was a face of the franchise. He was promoted as such. Many jerseys were sold with his 33 on it and name on it, and that rankled people who felt that investment. That undermined their investment there. So moves like that and the potential right up to the day that the trading deadline ended, the potential that Josh Gordon would be traded was part of the bold thinking of this organization, that they weren't flinching about that if, quote, in their mind, the right deal came along. It didn't. Fine. We know how that's worked out since. But the point is, there's nothing they've done so far that doesn't say bold, and those words bold, or the word bold is on the wall, one of the walls of this building, and that is how they are conducting themselves. They hired Rob Chudzinski because they liked the bold philosophy of his offense. They liked that. They lived with that until they decided that wasn't enough, that he wasn't bringing in enough in the way of leadership, in the way of other qualities that they wanted to see, and they decided as quickly as possible to move on with that. They're going to make a $120 million investment, not all from Jimmy Haslam's pocket, but a good portion of it is going to be invested in the stadium. That's coming up over the next 2 years. So they're taking those steps. This is going to be this was a costly coaching move. They owe him 3 years on his contract, so that number could be upwards of $10 million just to Chudzinski alone. Other staff members, when you add up those salaries of those not returning, that will get into the millions as well. So they've made these investments, but they're going to turn around and pay another head coach and other coordinators and other assistants a whole hell of a lot of money. This is a group that really doesn't care how it's being judged. What it cares about is winning. We win? And when we win, we're going to put people in the seats, and people are going to all the gnashing of teeth, all the hand wringing, all the shots that everybody's getting now in social media, all the Three Stooges references and everything else are going to go away with a winning team. They did what they had to do. And if that doesn't happen, they're going to go away. They know they're going to go away. They're prepared to know that there's no guarantee. That door doesn't have a lock on the – I mean, you can go out. That door swings open and swings – it will swing open and let them leave if things don't materialize in 2014, because Jimmy Haslam will not hesitate to pull that trigger either.
No, he is here to win. That's the one thing to me that is clear, that comes through in all this, that permeates all of it. You've heard from us, though. We do want to hear from you, 216-578-0850. Let's get things started. We're going to be – listen, this is your time to share what you want. We'll react to it, and we'll see what happens. Mike in Akron, you are on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford with Nathan Zagura and Vic Carucci.
Okay. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Just give me 60 to 90 seconds to make my point. I know you got a lot of callers on hold. Okay, after listening to the press conference, I might be wrong, but the only person I remember asking about how much say-so the next coach would have regarding the roster, specifically the draft, was when Vic Carucci asked Banner during the post-press conference interview. Obviously, whoever they hire has to have had prior success as an NFL head coach. Brian Billick, anyone? What candidate knows the division better, right? And has to not only be on the same page as Banner and Lombardi, but has to have his opinion respected regarding the draft and free agency as well. Last but not least, they also need whoever they are bringing here, the coordinators, offensive, defense, and special teams, they need to have coordinators who have had prior NFL success as well. We don't need the boy wonder Josh McDaniels. If so, they are the three stooges. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to Juan in North Carolina. Juan, welcome to the show.
Hey, I don't know about Three Stooges, but what I'm hearing more of is like the underpants gnomes. You know, collect underpants, ?
I don't know what that means.
Not following that. Greg and Brian, please come up with something we understand.
Hello?
Greg, hey, what's up, Greg?
Hey. Nate, I just want to answer your question of why we're so angry.
Yeah, thank you.
I know a lot of people call in and they're like, hey, I've been a Browns fan for this long. I'm 20 years old, and I got to tell you, the Browns are my life. But the thing is, Chud's one of us. He knew what was going on. Mm-hmm. He came in. The moment never seemed too big for him. I mean, look what he did in 07 with that offense. I clearly remember the upset in 07 against the Giants on Monday Night Football. I mean, he made Derek Anderson a Pro Bowl quarterback, and he had five more Pro Bowlers this year. Josh Gordon, they almost wanted to trade the guy. I mean, can't you get him a break?
That's no, I think that's the one part of it to me that is the toughest, right? It's the human interest in Rob Chudzinski as a Browns fan, the story about how well it went. But I would gather from, and I think it's pretty clear from Joe Banner and Jimmy Haslam, they're not here for human interest stories. Rob Chudzinski was handed a check for over $10 million to walk out the door, so he is going to be well taken care of, as is his family, and they felt that they want to win for you. If you just said the Browns are your life, these guys, the Browns are now their lives, and they want to win, and if this is what they think is right, time will tell. The difference is when everybody was pissed off about them trading Trent Richardson, within 2 weeks, everybody in the world was like, this was a genius move. They don't have the benefit of that immediate turnaround this time, because it's going to take until next football season to see some tangible progress. And by tangible progress now, it isn't about being competitive anymore. It's about winning. And you heard today for the first time, I heard at least, this is what I took from Joe Banner's comments, that they expect to make the playoffs next year. That was the first time that I've heard him even say that when you talk about a turnaround, it's a turnaround resulting in a playoff berth.
Yeah,
and that's the first time he said anything like that.
But it's consistent with the schedule that's been laid out by this organization, that next year is supposed to be that year that you are. I thought it was on the way to the playoffs. This was when I thought Rob Chudzinski was getting a second season. But you're right. It's playoffs next year and beyond. It's you're a playoff team in 2014, and call it playoffs or bust. That's exactly what the mentality is. But back to the point of Chud and the popularity, it was considered a bonus that he grew up a Browns fan in Toledo. It was not what put it over the top for him to be hired. What put it over the top for him to be hired was very simple. He sat with Joe Banner and Jimmy Haslam, and when they were talking about coordinators that he would hire, and especially bringing up the name North Turner, and other candidates had indicated, look, I can deliver this guy for you, who was considered the top OC candidate of the past off season. He pulled his cell phone out and said, let's get him on the line right now. And he got North Turner on the phone and handed the phone to them and said, and North Turner essentially said words to the effect of, yes, I'm aboard if you hire Rob Chudzinski. So that's what he was delivering. Let's go to, Sean in Medina? Yeah, Sean in Medina.
How's it going, folks?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, listen, my question is, I'm kind of on the fence here. I think it was a good move because it showed decisiveness and a willingness to want to win. What I'm not quite sure, and maybe you guys can help me out with, is how they evaluated him, Chudzinski, with the third-string quarterback as your starter. You know, and I've heard on many, you know, your guys' show before, you know, quarterback is very important in the league. And if you don't have that key piece, how is he fairly judged?
I think that that's a fair question. I think that's a question a lot of people are asking, given the quarterback turmoil, everything around him. But I think when you would, what they, the sense of the message that I got from the press conference from Joe Banner when he was here is that if you look at the teams around them, the Jacksonville Jaguars, they had no talent, quarterback turmoil. They won four of their last eight games with Chad Henne. The Oakland Raiders, they ended up with the same record as the Cleveland Browns, and they were starting Matt McGloin for much of the season and had by far less talent on that team than the Cleveland Browns. Tampa Bay, same thing. So I think when you look at these squads, and Minnesota started how many different quarterbacks this year?
At least three.
Castle,
four.
Freeman, Ponder.
Ponder.
So at least did somebody else may have snuck Freeman, in there, but at least three. They are also in the same boat, 4-12. But I think what separates it again, and they've obviously started to highlight on it, five Pro Bowlers on the Cleveland Browns, two on the Houston Texans. They were the worst team in the NFL. Andre Johnson, J.J. Watt. One on the Redskins, Trent Williams. None on the Jaguars. One on the Raiders, Marcel Reese, a fullback. None on the Falcons this year. Two on Tampa, one on Minnesota. So I think that they were looking that, given that there were so many key pieces in place, that this team should have improved over the second half of the season, which you could argue that it did not, especially in its ability to come through in the clutch. That's what it was. And you and I kept talking about it. They're on the wrong side of a couple key plays in every game. And that's the difference ultimately from this being a 7-9 team where we're not having this conversation, and to the fact that they're 4-12 and this day has come. That's a difference. It's a couple plays a game, and I think they think coaching.
For as you, this is what no one, I've heard no one articulate this specifically, but I think the move says it all. For as bad as this team was, let me rephrase this. For as much as this team was missing, for as many parts as it was missing, it had enough, it's fair to say, to win seven or eight games total.
Yes.
And I think that was the ultimate thing that does the coach and coaching staff in, because it's always about personnel versus coaching. If you don't, coaches will always tell you they don't have enough players, and the personnel side will say, we're giving you enough from this bucket. You've got to coach them up and make them make it work.
It is now being reported on Twitter by Ian Rappaport that the Browns have their first head coaching candidate lined up, Seahawks defensive coordinator Dan Quinn. Reportedly the first candidate, a rising star, obviously knows a little bit about defense out there. He can interview with the team on January the 5th, and the Browns have officially requested permission to interview him, according to a source reported now by both Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter. So that's the first answer. The first guy that it sounds like they'll be after, Dan Quinn, Seahawks defensive coordinator.
Josh in Norfolk, Virginia. Hello, Josh.
I was just calling to answer your question from the last segment.
Sure.
You know, I live down here in Norfolk. The Navy picked me up and dropped me off. And the Tidewater Browns Backer Club down here is a really tight-knit group. And I got the update on my phone during the game that Chudzinski was likely to be fired. And I talked to everybody about it. And, you know, most people here, they weren't saying they were surprised or anything like that. They were really just saying, you know, they're disappointed because Chudzinski, he's a hometown guy.
For sure. You know, and he was a great guy.
Great
I loved
guy.
Every interaction I had with
great
him.
Great family.
Wonderful
man.
Guy.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah, and, you know, just had his kid, and it's just really bad news to hear.
Yep.
But they, you know, a lot of them were saying you shouldn't be surprised. He wasn't even in the top three for them when they were looking for head coaches last year. And, you know, the one guy that they brought in on quarterback that they actually wanted to bring in was great. And I just I want Browns fans out there to – realize when these guys get what they actually want, I think it's going to be good. So I'm going to leave it at that and listen to you guys, and I thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for that, Keith and Josh. Keith in Cuyahoga Falls is up now. Hello, Keith.
Hi.
What you got, man?
I'm just, you know, I'm getting real kind of aggravated with all these so-called diehard Browns fans. They call in every year. They complain every year. It's kind of like the guy, the buddy you got that dates the girl that nobody likes. They tell her she's bad for him, and he still dates her, hoping she's going to be something else. And then when he finally figures it out, he tells you he told you so. This is what happens all the time. I'm just glad these guys pulled the Band-Aid, got it done. Now we can be a winner. Let's just move on.
Well put.
That's well put. Yeah, thank you very much, Keith. Let's go now to Phil in Brecksville.
Guys, I am so sick and tired of losing, like everybody here. I am just sick and tired of watching football games that mean nothing. You know, I was just hoping yesterday watching NFL Red Zone just to beat Pittsburgh, just to hope that Kansas City could beat San Diego. I am so sick and tired of losing. I am so sick and tired of this whole year that one of those players or Kudzinski ever just getting in their belly and saying, this stinks. We don't want to lose anymore. We're not losers. This sucks. And, you know, I was just so sick and tired of it all. And until they get someone that they may have liked him, but believe me, they did not respect him. They may have liked him as a friend, but they need someone that they can look up to and say that they're going to fear and respect. And they're going to do their jobs, and they're not going to just worry about their paychecks, but they're going to get a hate to lose.
Well,
I'm all on with this.
No, I think you make some very good points. And I think one of the interesting things that is difficult about a head coaching search is that when you're interviewing a coach and you're going through the process, it's basically a lot of very successful, highly educated front office people dealing with a coach. And how he relates to them obviously is going to go a long way into his ability to get hired. But ultimately, and I think you hit the nail on the head, it's his ability to command a group of youths, basically. These are very, very well-paid, but very young players. The average age on the Browns, I think we heard today, was 25 years old. These are kids still finding their way, growing into being the men that they will be. And you need to be able to lead those people and have their respect. And not only that, a head coach also has to manage his coaching staff. You have to manage your coordinators, your position coaches. You have to be able to relate to a vast, diverse group of individuals for it to be successful ultimately. And that, I think, is one of the hardest things to do. And that's one of the hard things to get, I think, in an 8-hour interview with anybody. I think you can know in a business sense what you're doing, but you said it so well back in training camp. He was in the CEO role. He had his guys beneath him, and he was kind of CEOing, and they were running the day-to-day, and you just never know how ultimately that ends up translating to the players, to the other coaches, et cetera, and we'll see.
That model tends to work better when you've got more experienced players, because they get that they're guided to a task and carried through. They have to carry out their assignments, and all things are set on the table. But in terms of challenging them, holding them accountable, delivering messages or whatever that they understand, that takes a skill set. And not everybody has it. And I don't know that Rob didn't have it or wouldn't have shown it if he had a little more time to work with it. But clearly, he was watched. And the thing we got to make very clear, this was not decided in like 1 hour, 1 day, this was an accumulation of thought and discussion internally. It wasn't widely known in the building, and Nathan and I are not sitting here saying, yeah, we knew this was coming around the bend.
No.
I'd be lying if I told you that. But to the extent that what we know now in terms of how they were doing this, there was a lot of talk and a lot of discussion because we've asked those questions. We've been in here inside this building telling you they were talking about this and observing and assessing and basically evaluating what they had, what they really had, and could they go forward with it because of the very critical time that is ahead for this team. And time is not a friend. You've got to get this thing right. So whoever used the term, I think the caller said, pull the Band-Aid. Yeah, they pulled that Band-Aid hard, and now they're going to make – and the reason this isn't done usually by teams, by the way, this way, why this timing doesn't go, is because you essentially wait for the coach to fire himself so that you're not answering questions of how did you guys screw this up. You still screwed it up. If you're the same people firing the guy who hired the guy, you got it wrong. So in 2 years, you got it wrong, or 3 years, you got it wrong. In Minnesota, they still got it wrong. Just as wrong as the Browns got it wrong with Kudzinski, but it's more in their mind, but it's more pronounced when it's happening, you know, that soon in this case. And later on, it's you let the public swell of opinion say, yeah, they got to get rid of this guy. And it happened with Pat Shurmur last year, ultimately. And after
and that only happens when you're not having success.
Yeah.
And they don't want that anymore.
Well, the down the hall folks, that corridor, the corridor of power or whatever you want to call it here, know that a losing season in 2014 2014 leads to much more in terms of issues and problems for them and their futures than right now. So they know time is the issue, is of the essence here. All right, we've got much more coming up. We'll take more of your calls, obviously, 216-578-0850. A whole bunch of you want to get aboard. Tweet us at Browns_Daily. It is Cleveland Browns Daily. It is driven by Liberty Ford. I'm Vic. He's Nathan. And it is, it's not a happy Monday around here, just to let you know, in Berea. It's a tough, tough day to go through this. But we're going to go through it and talk about it and hopefully give you some, enlighten you, give you some insights from the inside. That's what we're here for. You taste the stars.